Down to business on News Talk.
Thanks to Bank of Ireland. Here to support business through the impact of coronavirus.
Building team morale and maintaining a sense of camaraderie while working from home is just one of the many challenges facing many of us at the moment. Just to discuss what we might be able to do to create a sense of togetherness, I'm joined now by Gina London. She's the CEO of Language and Leadership, and she's a columnist with the Sunday Independent. Gina, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Bobby.
Now, tell me a little bit about, you know, our world has changed fairly rapidly. A lot of people are now working from home who aren't used to it. And leadership in terms of managing at-home workers is very different to managing somebody in the office. So what changes do the leaders of today's enterprises have to make so that they engage properly with people working from the home place?
Thanks, Bobby. This is a tough one, really, because just like you said, I work with largely multinational companies, and they have great culture, a lot of them, and they've got great support, but they've had, like you said, the team members themselves have not had regular working from home situations, and the managers too haven't had this. So now suddenly it's all thrust on them. Yeah, we've been at it for several weeks, but a lot of the optimists thought they were going to get out of it and the reopening would mean that they'd be coming back into the office. And one of my remote coaching clients just told me on Friday when they got the announcement from their corporate headquarters that, hey guys, we're going to continue remote working no matter what for the remainder of the year, that suddenly there was this real feeling of crestfallenness because now they've got to refocus themselves. And I think that's where we are. We're not adapting necessarily to remote working. Many of us are trying to find stamina. And so for leaders, especially, it's important, and here's the number one thing, get a thinking partner or get a coach or get somebody on your team who is a supervisor or above your level or a friend, not a spouse who you're living with, because I think that's too much pressure to put on, but get somebody who you can, as a leader, vent with, talk to, decompress with, so you're not doing that with your team. Because for your team, it's important as a leader that your emotions are up, that you remain positive, and that is tricky to do when a lot of us leaders, myself included, we're not working from home, we're parenting from work. And that is very hard, Bobby.
I totally agree. And I feel for anybody with young kids, because it's a totally different proposition if you've got young kids working from home to not having them. Like, they're two different.
I had one of my coaching clients. He worked for a tech company. His wife also worked for a different tech company. They're both working from home. They both have teams they have to support. And they also have a 4-year-old son who doesn't understand. And when they've got virtual conference and video conference and another video meeting and one-on-one video virtual meetings, and the next thing you know, this client was complaining, they were lamenting to me, which is the proper thing to do, that their poor little son was on a device from 6 in the morning on a Thursday till 7 o'clock that same night, and they felt that strange sense of guilt where you know you're healthy, you know you got a steady paycheck, but you're also feeling bad about your 4-year-old. Hey, he'll survive. He's resilient. But that doesn't mean you don't feel that sense of guilt.
Yeah. Gina, can I talk to you about the politics of Zoom? You know, I think you said it yourself that people who didn't participate at meetings in an office scenario are going to be the people with their cameras turned off in a Zoom meeting. Like, firstly, the etiquettes around, you know, conducting a meeting on Zoom. Should everybody have their camera on so that they can engage properly?
I don't mean to cross over your body, but yeah, here's the tricky thing. I get it, back to the point about having kids, and that maybe people are, the fatigue rate, this is important, I've written about this too, and others have, the fatigue rate of video conferencing is twice that of face-to-face. So imagine you're trying to conduct a one-hour meeting in person, and people are losing the will and they're getting bored. Now you put that in a video conference scenario, people are twice as exhausted, plus that's all they're doing all day long. And that research, by the way, was conducted prior to add the anxiety and the uncertainty around when are we going to be able to go out and have the kids go into a creche or go into a summer camp or whatever. So it's really tiresome, and I understand why people want to turn their cameras off, but dependent upon the meeting, And dependent upon who you are, again, leaders, we're all leaders. If we impact somebody, we're a leader. So there's not this sense of, oh, well, that's the big supervisor, that's not me. I'm just quoted. And
yeah.
So if you want to be an emerging leader, you better turn that camera on and also control your environment. If you've got windows that are putting you in a silhouette and nobody can see your face, imagine if you're trying to talk to a client or a customer and you come in with your face in shadow. You wouldn't do that. So try to control the lighting. Try to control the audio. Try to look engaged. And that's hard on Zoom etiquette because people feel like, well, if I'm not talking, I can just put my hand over my mouth or put them on my forehead or just look really bored. But no, because you're sending a message to the rest of your team, just as if you were in a boardroom, a virtual room. I say if you're going to be in the room, be in the room. If you're going to be in the virtual room, be in the virtual room.
Yeah, and what about the kind of things like dress code? It all been very casual, CEOs and in T-shirts and this sort of stuff.
Hey, look.
Do you need to make an effort to be presentable?
Yeah, Bobby, it's about your audience. And so if you're going to show value to your audience, if you're going to, doesn't mean you have to sit there with a whole three-piece suit on and you've got you're on your
well half a three-piece suit, just the top bit. You don't have to worry about the bottom bit.
Exactly. How many times I do, for example, all of my on-camera stuff, as I call it. I also say, by the way, P.S. We're all broadcasters now. So those of you who didn't have camera training like I had, because I had a whole career before my work in corporate communications and leadership, I was a CNN correspondent. So I understand this concept of what do you look like when you're on camera. Talk to your camera. Don't just talk to your little picture of yourself, because that looks like you're talking downward. If you look at the camera, it actually looks like you're talking to the person. So I do all my quote-unquote platformy stuff standing up, because my body language and my vocal ability sounds better when you're standing.
Yeah.
It just helps your presence, also helps your energy. So that's really important. And if you can, try to really make sure that you are thinking of who that other person is. So if they're casual, sure, you can be a little more casual. If they're your boss, heck, how many people now who've lost jobs are furloughed or what have you might be going through interviews online and all these platforms. So come on. And I understand you might have 8 weeks of hair growth that you didn't get a chance to get cut because you haven't been able to, and all those sorts of reality things. We want to be real. We want to be more purposeful, but we also want to still try to do what we can to show value to others and to ourselves.
Just finally, Gina, about I suppose you say that confidence is declining. For some people who are unused to working from home and going through all this sort of Zoom etiquette and that, as this goes on and they become more detached from the office and from colleagues, is that a danger that people might find themselves actually very isolated?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where I think, again, for managers especially, and I know there's pushback because I hear it from the teams that I work with, that teams aren't starting the fatigue thing. I mean, many of the young employees here, Ireland's a real techie company with a lot of young people who come from international places, and they're living with roommates, and maybe they don't even really like each other that well, and they're stuck in there. Their teams are starting to push back and go, we want fewer, quote, virtual coffees and virtual check-ins. And I actually say to my team leaders, try to find ways to have more structure, not less. Not because you're wanting to check up on them, but you're wanting to make sure that they have structure. Because I think structure is going to help you get that stamina you need during this time.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for those words of wisdom. Gina London there, a Sunday Independent columnist and former CNN lady. Thank you very much for joining us, Gina.
You're very welcome, Bobby. Stay safe.
We'll talk to you soon.